In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. The technology is always befuddling to me, so I had a hard time. I pressed that thing about 5 times. I've actually punched my cell phone before. For those who are listening to this and are not here, while we were waiting for the Orban, we made an analysis of the primary elements of this gospel. I'm not going to go over those, and so if you are hearing this, you will wonder why I have chosen to speak about it as I now am, and it's so that it is not redundant for the people who were faithful and came on time. Did you listen to the psalm? Did you hear what the last statement was in the psalm? O Lord, my spirit has failed. When the Lord asks you to do something, unless you forget yourself, you cannot do it. Do you know how many people get up before a microphone and start to stammer? On the way to church today, Joshua, remind me. We were listening to a Catholic priest. And I don't remember what his name was, but it's 9:30 if you want to listen to something that is not going to trouble your spirit. You shouldn't be listening to music. You shouldn't be listening to even the Coptic liturgy if you're going to talk over it. But if you're going to listen intently, to have something while you are driving is very nice. So we were listening to Catholic radio, and there was this priest, and he kept repeating himself. Whatever it was he said it twice, almost as though he had OCD. And I remarked to Joshua, he must be new. When you have spoken for a long time, and when you are comfortable, not because you have a comprehensive knowledge of the subject, but suppose, for example, that you are a PhD student. You've completed your dissertation, and now you're going to have to give a defense of it to people who really control the life and the death of the next step of your career. Are you nervous? Well, if you're only representing yourself, then I don't know how you could be anything else but nervous. But when you are a servant of God, you have to remember that it is He that you serve. And as that servant of God, you forget yourself. Because who are you? You are like Fotini at the well, the Samaritan woman who came to her people that held her in such low repute and said, "Come see a man who told me all that ever I did. Is this not the Christ?" And when you have people that begin to stammer or repeat themselves or search, it's because they've been divided in themselves, and they are thinking about, what are people thinking about me? Not what do I think about my Lord. If I start to tell you about my favorite car, I don't stammer. If I tell you about my favorite meal, I don't stammer. If I tell you about my favorite musician or genre of music, I don't stammer. So why should I stammer when I speak about the Lord? And why was Philip nervous? He's not mentioned here. And by the way, Ash, we had again, for those who haven't listened, we were discussing what the meaning of the 5 loaves and the 2 fish were. The 5 loaves are typically understood to be the Pentateuch, the 5 books of Moses. And the 2 fish are sometimes the disciples of Christ. And Ash proposed that he had read from St. John Chrysostom in being quoted in the Orthodox Study Bible that they were land and sea. Now, the problem for us, Ash, is we are going to have to look at St. John's words for all three Gospels and go through every line in the original, which we possess, to see whether or not he's being quoted accurately. Because sometimes in English, Anton was asking a question earlier today, will there be forgiveness in the life to come? These things have to do with idiom. And Hebrew idiom brought into English is not without violence done to the Hebrew. We would have to be multilingual to understand the full meaning and comprehend what was transpiring for the original hearers of those words, and to feel that in our hearts as they felt it. But what we get is something that is an explanatory device rather than the original device. So I don't ever want anybody to fear correcting me. That's the death of my intellect. Because if I don't have a challenge, if I don't have somebody say to me, I read this or I heard this. You may not say to me, I think you are wrong. You may not say that to me ever. Because anybody may think anything at any time, and that just sets you off on a wild goose chase if the person who has said it isn't very smart. But if they say, as Ash said, that I read it in the Orthodox Study Bible and they were quoting St. John Chrysostom, now this is appropriate. You are bringing something up and it's a legitimate question and it is never wrong. And I am like the man that it talks about in the Proverbs, if you correct me, you will make me more wise than I am now, so I will love you. I will not hate you. It does not demean me, because why? I'm forgetting about myself. I'm forgetting about my ego. I am representing my Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ. That's why you will not hear me stammer. That's why you will not hear me pause and try to think of what comes next. It won't happen, because I'm not me right now. I am him insofar as I can be, insofar as my soul has developed to the point where I am, as Thomas A. Kempis says, an imitator of Christ. Now, there are things that I want to tell you about the Lord having to do with this gospel in particular. One of the prayers that I pray before the reading of the Acts of the Apostles, we are reminded that the Lord gave to Abraham a sacrifice other than his son, out of his compassion and his love, and seeing the love that Abraham had for him. So when he looked, he found a ram caught by the horns in a bush. And then on the heels of that, the fathers of the church say, please accept our sacrifice of incense. Do you know that if I offer a pound of incense, it costs me about 10 American dollars? Is that about the right rate of exchange? Maybe that's too much. The rate of exchange now is how many pounds to a dollar? 16 pounds, Egyptian pounds to a dollar. How much does a pound of bakhur cost in Egypt? All I'm getting is a face, and the face is scowling for you again who are listening. It's not very much, and we are asking the Lord to accept this. How could he? Well, I can tell you how, because my children and now my grandchildren, they bring home things that they have made at school. And these things are completely precious to me. One was just a paper of handprints that first my daughter, then my son, and now my grandson, two grandsons have done. They put their hand in paint, they put it on paper, and you see these handprints. Sometimes you see they got too much paint, and so you can hardly tell it's a handprint. It looks more like something that came from outer space. But then is the right amount of paint is transferred to the paper, you see, yes, I know who has done that. And then there's a little thing that the teacher writes at the bottom, you know, one day the handprints that you get tired wiping off the refrigerator and on the glass and those things, you're going to remember when you see this, and you're going to wish that they were little again. And it's true. And I imagine that no matter how far I proceed or anybody proceeds in their pursuit of holiness or in their pursuit of the Lord Jesus Christ or in the understanding of the doctors of the church or the gospel itself or any of the rites and the rubrics, that of any accomplishments that I may have, I'm not going to go beyond putting my hand in paint and attaching it to a piece of paper. That's all that I am. But the Lord, as He has put love in me, as He has shown me love, love that I can never imitate except in the most pale manner, I accept the presence that my children have given me and now my grandchildren. And I want to tell you how important it is for everybody to donate. People don't understand. There are a whole lot of people that sit in church and they don't give anything. And they just complain. I talked about this at the eulogy of Josephine Marcos. How can you come to church and leave church with a scowling face? You know, the lines of your face betray you. It was called phrenology in the Chinese system, where they would put their hands on your heads and they would tell about the bumps of your face, but also the way in which you use your face develops the muscles that cause your face to contract into those positions. So a person that smiles has a different set of muscular tension in his face that he carries than one who frowns. And so you can look at somebody and you can say, this person has spent their life in misery and in complaint. They're a miserable human being and not a good candidate to bring anybody to the love of Christ. So I tell you, we must all, as the little boy offered his lunch, and it was the lunch of a little boy. I mean, now there are some little boys that can really eat. But there's still a limit to how big the five loaves and the two fish were. And for 5,000 people. So it's the fructifying grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that He takes the little and He multiplies it. He says many times, Lord, I thank You that You have heard me, and I know that You hear me always. Yet for the people who stand by, they give witness. And they give witness through the various things that the Lord does with the most mean elements of life. He will take some water. He will turn it into wine. He will take some clay from the ground, mix it with his saliva, and bring a man sight. He will take the smallest, the meanest things. The word meanest, for those who don't have a good vocabulary, means the poorest. A very mean existence doesn't mean that you're angry. A mean existence means that you're on the edge of starvation. He will take the smallest, the meanest, the most humble things, and He will turn them into elements of great joy and pleasure. He will take simplicity and turn it into multiplicity and complexity simply because of Him having been near. He just touched the bier of the son of the widow of Nain, and the son rose up and spoke. He didn't actually touch him. He just touched the sanduk, the coffin. He just touched it. The Lord has this grace, but in order for the grace of the Lord to be with us, we have to offer. And if you have nothing, like a small child, Jaden Moros has memorized a psalm, and I don't do this to, you know, I think he's still asleep, right? Hopefully he's asleep, so he won't hear this. But he memorized a psalm. Now, he can't read. Do you know how hard it is to memorize a long psalm when you can't read? If I were to ask one of the old people in the church, recite for me a psalm, would the old people in the church be able to do it? And yet this little boy. This is the giving of yourself. This is the forgetting of yourself. You forget yourself and you concentrate on God and God alone. And when you do that, then you get to see the grace. You know, if I do everything because of, you know, having a brilliant mind. Now, it's true that God gave me the mind. God gave me the access to a good education. God gave me the opportunity to display it. But people are going to say, oh, that guy is just really smart. This is where I remember Anton, my Tchaikovsky quip. Tchaikovsky was walking in Gorky Park, and the Tsar and the Tsarina are coming down, and it was just at the beginning of the spring thaw, and the grounds on either side of the walkway were muddy. And Tchaikovsky walked down the very middle of the walkway, causing the Tsar and the Tsarina of Russia to step into the mud. And somebody heard this story secondhand, and he asked Tchaikovsky, how did you dare do that? And he said, the Tsar and the Tsarina were made through the hand of men, but Tchaikovsky was made by God. If you feel this way about yourself, you will never be pulled in. Priests hear some terrible things about young women and young men, pulled into all kinds of activity. As a matter of fact, there was one man who was telling me about a boy, college-aged boy, who wanted to have a sex change operation. And this boy, who was very well educated and knew all of the rhetoric and all of the apology for that type of lifestyle, began to give him a litany of excuses. And at the end, the person who was godly said, I don't know anything about that. I have just one question for you. Who are you? It's a question that we're asked for by the who. Who are you? And he began to reiterate certain things. I'm this. I'm this. I'm done this. I'm done this. Here I am now at the stage of my life. And who are you going to be in God's kingdom? Are you going to be male or female in God's kingdom? And he said, and he looked at him and he said, I never thought of that. Well, I can't tell you that this is going perfectly well, this conversation. But I can tell you that the young man has now decided he's not going to become a young woman. And by the way, he can never become a young woman. He can put on a mask, a flesh mask. He can remove all the offending parts. He can take drugs and he can mimic body parts that women have naturally. He can mimic them artificially with injections and different other things. There are operations that he can have. Even some women have operations to remove a rib so that it will look like they have more of an hourglass figure. He can do all of those things. But if you test the least constituent part that makes us human, it will come back in blazing neon, she's a he. It will never be the case of anyone that you've ever heard of or anyone you've ever seen that can change their gender. It's not possible. They can wear a suit of skin that they make for themselves. They can dress up and put anything on. But it doesn't change the essential nature of who you are and who you are to God. There are some people that have thought about this question and have just decided that God is irrelevant to them. They will change their mind. As Jean-Paul Sartre changed his mind on his bed of death, as Oscar Wilde, the great Irish writer and playwright who had relations with 10,000 boys, he changed his mind on his bed of death. When you get to the point where you are really going to have to stand in front of God and give a defense of the types of uses that you have allowed yourself to be put to, you are going to have to do more than tap dance. So we come back to offering ourselves in a legitimate way, offering our talents. I'm not speaking about money specifically. I'm not speaking about manual labor specifically. I'm not speaking about simply being a commiserative voice on the end of a phone calling to ask someone, how are you doing? How is your illness going along? Is there anything that you need? Could I be of service to you? Do you have mobility? Can I take you somewhere in my car? I'm not speaking about any of those things specifically, but I'm speaking about all of them together generally. And you have to, if you are going to be receiving the blessing of God, you have to offer, because it is in offering that you will experience the grace and the liberty and the freedom and His power. And in doing so, you will know that God is God. Glory to His name, both now and ever, into the age of all ages. Amen.